AK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Halloween campaigning, Donald Trump in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
With your vote in this election, I will end inflation. I will stop the massive invasion of criminals into your state. And I will bring back the American dream.
Vice President Harris in Phoenix.
And on top of my list is bringing down, si se puede, si.
And that's what they were chanting, Spanish for if possible, yes. Crews are searching for bodies in stranded cars and flooded buildings following monstrous flash floods in Spain that leave over 150 dead. Prison restitution for a man from Washington State convicted of leading a wildlife trafficking ring on a Montana reservation that killed thousands of eagles and hawks. This is ABC News. Snow fell on Hawaii's tallest peak this week, briefly turning the mountaintop into a winter wonderland. The remains of a 50-year-old hunter had been found on an island in southeastern Alaska. Authorities say Ted Fokoa was apparently mauled by brown bears, who then stole the deer he killed. So much for once bitten, twice shy.
Getting attacked by a shark once might be enough to convince most people to stay out of the water, but not Cole Tashman. The Florida surfer was bitten 10 years ago, and now he's been attacked a second time. Turns out that's still not enough. He does admit when he does go back into the water, though.
First time's going to be really spooky, so I'm going to wait for some super clear water and a place I know there's no sharks.
A shark crunched both his feet, leaving him with injuries that needed two surgeries and nearly 100 stitches. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
State of Arkansas has purchased land northwest of Little Rock that Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders says would be used for a new prison. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballad?
Oh, Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams, composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The Kringle, Wood Violet, American Water Spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process can take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the Kringle, Wood Violet, and American Water Spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
A Bucks player cited for speeding. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. Milwaukee Bucks guard Andre Jackson Jr. has been slapped with a speeding violation after crashing his BMW into another car, then into an apartment building at Yankee Hill in downtown Milwaukee over the weekend. At first, the team said it was a single car crash, but the Journal Sentinel discovered a second vehicle was involved. No injuries to the two people in that car. Jackson to pay for damages and the $138 fine. The Bucks are in Memphis to face the Grizzlies tomorrow night. NFL Packers rookie linebacker Edrin Cooper talked about his sack and forced fumble against the Jaguars' Trevor Lawrence.
I mean, it's something we work on a lot, you know, like our defense. That's what we want to do, try to get the ball. Supposed to play is turn to point, so and that's what happened. So that's just our way of thinking.
Matt LaFleur says the rookie gets better every week.
It seems to me that he's developing a better routine. I think Coop's done a better job in that regard.
The Packers host the Lions on Sunday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. Most people who cause a nuclear meltdown while working at a nuclear power plant would likely lose their job, not Homer Simpson. In last Sunday night's episode, it was revealed that despite his gross incompetence, Homer was never fired because his father, Abe, was a PI. The episode revealed that Abe's partner was taken out by Mr. Burns, who assured Abe that his son Homer would always have a job if Abe didn't snitch. I guess I should have spoiler alerted that. If you haven't watched The Simpsons, you've got 36 seasons to catch up on. The show airs Sunday nights on Fox. Bruce Springsteen Springsteen is on record as refuting the Forbes info that says he is worth over $1 billion. The boss says he is not a billionaire, and it's because he spent money on superfluous things throughout his life and does not penny pinch. He also says he is a good boss and pays his chums in the E Street Band handsomely. Springsteen says it was never about the money, but always about making great music. He's done well on both fronts. One of these days, maybe he'll have Taylor Swift money. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. The rain and snow moves out, clearing and colder tonight with a low in the mid-20s. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, high upper 40s, but warmer for the weekend, highs into the upper 50s, partly cloudy Saturday, showers and storms developing Saturday night and Sunday. Right now it's 33.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, could there be winds of change blowing through the northern part of Wisconsin? We'll talk to Kyle Kilborn running against Tom Tiffany. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chuzunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
We're going to, speaking of keeping ourselves awake, we're going to have Robert Lilligren on here, and we're going to make him stay on the whole show because it's a big countdown here to election time, and we love to hear what Robert has to say, and we like to have the banter about what's going on here. Happy Christmas. It snowed here in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Hey, happy. Go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say happy Halloween to everyone.
Exactly. We'll be going out there and freezing our butts off with our godchildren. And yeah, and I think it'll be hopefully a short 1 hour kind of, you know, kind
fill
of
up your candy bags and run. Maybe yeah. Have them run or something.
Yeah. Well, they know I like Snickers, but only a few. And they're very generous young ones. And they want to give me like 100 of them. And I'm going, I can't have this many, but give me that one.
Sneak a few.
Right.
Sicko. Yeah.
So, wow, totally excited to have Robert. Robert was just on, and he had to bail real quick. It looked like the internet went down or something. But, hey, we have an update later from Governor Evers and, you know, health insurance enrollment in Wisconsin. And, again, happy Halloween to everybody. And remember, don't wear no Pocahontas costume.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, speaking of that, actually, well, us as Native Americans know that, you know, our culture isn't a costume or something to dress up as for fun, but I did see something earlier today. Unfortunately, I have to bring up Diddy, but his son actually dressed up as a Native American and had a headdress on and was getting quite the comment section earlier today on Instagram.
You know, it's interesting. I was interviewed today from a Minneapolis. I'll be on featured in a Minneapolis article in the paper. And one of the things the writer said was that, you know, people still think we're not here. They think we're dinosaurs mm-hmm. and not here. And it's amazing to be reminded of that because I feel like sometimes I'm sheltered because I hang around with people that know that yeah. we're still here.
That's so true. Yeah, it's important. And I think like still like big Halloween places too, like Spirit Halloween, oops, just called them out. But they still do sell like Native costumes and like that.
You can find them. Hey, we have our friend Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute, and I am one for one on that now. And good thing we didn't haven't had Dr. Stately on this week, so I'm all ready to go. Great to see you, Robert. I'm excited. Yeah. I am really excited. Seriously.
Haley, Boozer Robert. I'm excited too. Sorry, I'm having technical issues, and I was in the office all day working on my laptop without plugging it in, so not on a battery. So I'm on my phone. So I hope that's working for you.
Yeah, it works good. It works good. I like that shirt you have there, too.
me too. It's the sought-after item in Indian country these days. I didn't think you'd be able to see the words. I don't know if that causes issues with you, but everybody wants one of these.
Yeah, let me see. Oh, Haley, is that the one that you couldn't get me one? Get me?
Yeah, who is that? Who's that picture on there, the Native guy? Is that Zane? Who is that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's the cop from Reservation Dogs. Yeah.
Zane McLaren.
Somebody from NACD, Make Voting a Tradition, saw one out at a conference. Was it in Arizona or California? And we're working with our national partner on turning out the votes, Illuminative. And they were the ones who created this. And so we said, yeah, we want 1,000 of those T-shirts. I'm not sure if we got 1,000, but they sent us a bunch. We put a few away to pull out for raffles and stuff, but they went like hotcakes.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, Robert, I really, really am truly excited. We had Governor Evers on yesterday.
I know.
And it's amazing. One of the things that it's hard for me to remember is that this is a really unique run, and the excitement that's surrounds this election is electric. And I really believe we're going to have a tsunami.
I am hopeful as well. So let's see where this goes. And there's so much kind of going on sort of underneath the surface, right? And so we see the polls, which I think are ridiculously close. But there's so many dynamics that I think are shifting votes. And I have a hunch it's going to be a lot better on Tuesday than a lot of people might think. But I will also say folks have a lot of anxiety around this election. And I'm getting calls, contacts, texts every day. People are like, what's going to happen? Is she going to win? And at this point, it's just keep your eye on the prize and keep moving forward. Turn out votes. Bring your friends, neighbors, relatives to the polls. And that's the best we can do. At this point, I think any kind of polls or other data aren't really helpful.
Well, I did see somebody report yesterday, and they compared the numbers at this time with Biden's numbers and Harris's numbers, and they're saying landslide. You know, that's where I'm going. And I feel like I'm not going to watch much news until the night of, and we're going to be running, as a matter of fact, AM 950, we're going to be on all night, and we'll be stopping in. And where are you going to be watching these results?
Probably at home. I've been invited to a couple of watch parties, results watch parties. But as I told the host, I said, I'm not very fun at a watch party. I have two or three devices with maybe 20 to 30 tabs open for different races, and I'm just flipping between them constantly. And then on my television, some cable analysis going on. And yeah, it's not pretty. I'm a little too much of an election junkie, I think. So I don't think I'd be fun at a watch party. So I'll probably be here at home just watching many, many races results come in.
Well, Robert, I think we mentioned this last week, but we're going to be going live, and maybe I can reach out to have you come in and give some reports, because there's a lot going on here in Minnesota. And with AM 950 doing coverage till 11 o'clock, we have a lot of good room for somebody like you with three or four phones open and telling us what's going on.
I would be happy to help. It'll be a way of using all this stuff I'm cramming into my brain. And yeah, perfect. So I'll be watching for, you know, we have big races in Minnesota where folks probably know our Democratic Party, the Democratic Farmer Labor DFL Party, has had a trifecta between the governor's office, the state Senate, and the state House. So maintaining that, maybe increasing those leads. They've done amazing things here in Minnesota. On the national scale, when Vice President Harris gets elected with our governor, Tim Walz, our lieutenant governor, will move into the governor's office. Native woman, my white, whiter sister, Peggy Flanagan. So there's just a lot to be hopeful for.
Totally excited. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're here with Robert Lilligren and Haley Cherry, and we're excited. We're going to be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org.
Let's live and let howl.
Howl!
For nearly 10 years, Make Voting a Tradition has empowered Native American communities by bringing friends and families together to talk about important issues. NVAT is increasing voter turnout and ensuring Native voices shape the future. This election season, skip the crowds and vote early in Minnesota. Elders and busy voters can vote in person before Election Day. Find your early voting location at sos.state.mn.us. Let's make voting a lasting tradition for generations to come.
This November, we have a clear choice for who's truly fighting for our Indigenous communities in Minnesota. Democrats created the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force, made college tuition free for Native scholars, and legally affirmed our Native sovereignty. By signing co-stewardship agreements to manage federal lands, we return the lands of the Upper Sioux State Park to the Upper Sioux Tribe, and over 11,000 acres back to the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwa. This November, vote for the party that stands with our community. Vote Democrat.
Paid for by the Democratic Farmer Labor Party.
For everything you need to know about voting in Minnesota, visit the Secretary of State's website at mnvotes.org. Find out where to vote, check registration status, and view sample ballots. Again, for all your voting information, go to mnvotes.org.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, Haley, I know you were at the last day here at the Four Sisters Market at Native American Community Development Institute.
I was.
I know. It's sad. It was so cool, and things were going so well. And, you know,
yeah, the market
missed that.
I know. It really is the place to be, especially like the Four Sisters Farmers Market. Opens up, I think, like in May. Well, it goes the whole summer, but goes through the end of October, and they did have to move it inside today. But the vendors were there, community was there, and, you know, it's all you need.
Speaking of community, we got Robert Lilligren here, President and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And, we were talking about the excitement. And I am so excited.
Well, and I am excited too. And I got to tell you, it was great seeing you, Haley, at the market. It was kind of nice indoors. The weather was really harsh here, rain and snow and cold. So we moved it into our gallery, All My Relations Arts, which happens to not have a show up right now. And a new one's going up very soon. But the vibe was great. It was such a successful market season. And we'll look forward to again next year during the market season. It's always a pleasure to see you And to the spot that you did in that break about make voting a tradition and early voting, yesterday was just a dynamite event at Little Earth of United Tribes, an early voting event. And so if folks aren't from Minneapolis, Little Earth of United Tribes is a HUD Section 8 housing development that's allowed to grant Native preference. So it's really the heart of the residential Native community in South Minneapolis and really gives us presence. And the city of Minneapolis, in an effort to make voting more accessible, set up a number of pop-up early voting sites. And Little Earth was one of them yesterday. And so Make Voting a Tradition was there helping to facilitate community to vote early. I think it was over 300 voters at the Little Earth pop-up site, which was wonderful. Wow. They've surpassed their goal. They now have over 30% of Little Earth residents that voted yesterday. So that's the Native voice, Native power, which was great. 40 of our unsheltered relatives, our relatives living without shelter, were able to vote yesterday, and about 90% were first-time voters. So just to really point to how some effort can really make a difference.
Wow. That's amazing. That's so amazing. You know, and that's amazing in any community. So I'm totally blown away.
Right. It's so different. You don't think of the Native community that way. And I'll tell you a couple things. One, our U.S. Senator Tina Smith showed up. Our Representative Ilhan Omar, local city council member, Jason Chavez, former mayor, Archie Ryback, they went out door knocking in the community there and spoke to the community there. And it's important for us to remember these elected officials don't show up out of the kindness of their heart, although they are all very kind-hearted people. They show up because they acknowledge that the Native votes can be swing votes in these elections and that Native votes are power. And so we're gaining attention.
That is just amazing. That's just amazing. Hey, you know, there's a lot going on, and I don't want to get dark or anything, so we'll talk positive.
And okay. It was amazing. And one other big positive thing to say, Robert, about yesterday at Little Earth with the early voting. And, you know, I'm a recovering politician. So I have door knocked at Little Earth for maybe 25 years. At different campaigns and election cycles. And 20, 25 years ago, 10 years ago, it was very difficult to motivate people to the polls. And I remember standing at our relatives' doors and saying, okay, there's your polling place right there across the street. Let's go vote. And residents there were not interested. They were actually often a little hostile to the idea. But yesterday during this massive get out the vote effort at Little Earth, there was excitement. There was enthusiasm. The Make Voting a Tradition canvassers, many of whom are Little Earth residents, were excited about getting their neighbors and their relatives to vote. Voters were excited about getting their friends to vote. And I just really want to lift that up about how different that is from maybe 20 years ago, maybe 10 years ago. And, you know, that's changing a system, right? That's getting a community and a culture that, for very good reasons, resent government sometimes and were uninterested in participating in voting, and now they're enthusiastic.
That is such great news too, and I like the history about it too, because 10 years ago is not that long ago, and you know, I remember a couple cycles ago that people like Make Voting a Tradition up north really got 8,000 people registered for the first time, Native Americans up north, and that always blows me away when I think about that.
Yeah, that's huge. In Make Voting a Tradition, organizers were very involved in Minnesota's redistricting, the last redistricting, and really brought technology and education and voice to our reservation relatives and those living up in the northern part of the state, which is a lot of the population, and we're able to craft a congressional district that has all or part of three reservations in it for the first time in Minnesota. And so now we can really start impacting both those federal elections, the state legislative districts that are based on those lines. And so that's another thing that I'll be watching on election day to see how all that's going.
Wow. I'm more excited now. That's awesome. I was going to say, Kamala spoke where Trump spoke in Washington, and first reports were there were like 20,000 people there, but the latest report, there were 75,000 people there.
Yep, 75,000, like 20,000 plus more than Trump's crowd. So we all know how much he loves to brag about crowd size, right? So Kamala's pulling in the larger crowds. That was an incredible speech, And I think that Vice President Harris has just been on fire the last couple of weeks. And every speech is better than the last. I don't know if you got a chance to see her Madison, Wisconsin speech from last night, but that is one of the best pieces of political speaking I have ever seen, best speeches I have ever seen, and I've seen thousands. So that it's just something. There's something happening here that's very exciting.
What makes it a better speech in your eyes?
A number of things, right? It's a lot. Some of it maybe is intangible, but it's this combination of presence. She has a presidential presence, a commanding presence. She has clear spoken. She has a clear message that she is delivering in a very, very strong way. She has a crowd that is with her completely. So that kind of lifts up the rhetoric. And then there's kind of this mystical almost kind of thing that happens when all of these elements come together in a balanced way. And that's rare. That's rare to see. You know, she doesn't stumble. She doesn't question herself. She's direct. She's not rambling. She's not confused. She's not lost. She's not senselessly dancing around the stage. And there's just this sense that she's a nice person, right? She's someone that you can trust with the nuclear codes. You can trust with the executive within our country. And I'm just super excited. So she has another Wisconsin rally tomorrow, right? And I'm really interested to see what happens there, because as we get closer to Election Day, she just starts getting sort of better and better while we see Trump just deteriorating.
Really deteriorating. And one of the things, and I don't know if it was just started really paying attention, but when Governor Walz joined the race and talked about prior to that how weird they were, I really felt like the Democrats really started telling the truth about who they were running against.
You know, I agree, and not just Democrats, but journalists as well. And you know, I don't know how much that kind of messaging actually impacts Trump's base, the MAGA people, right? They relish that. They want the opposition to be upset with them. They think that's a good politics, and which I don't really understand, and I'm not supposed to understand, I don't think. But people are at least willing to call out Trump and Vance on their BS and on the ridiculous things they say and on the lies they tell. And I see that permeating down the ballot as well in Senate races, congressional races, even state races now, where it seemed like for some reason in 2016 and even in 2020, it was also weird and new that I think journalists, you know, kind of tried to be respectful maybe, or Democratic politicians kept a little bit of an arm's length. But now people are putting it out there, right? They're telling the truth. These are lies. This is weird. This isn't normal. And I think that is important. And I think it's refreshing.
Well, what it also is refreshing too. Well, let me back up a second here. I know we only got a little bit in this segment. So I was watching the World Series and the ads that came on that were talking against Kamala. I was laughing. They were so ridiculous.
They're so bad.
Is that all you got?
That's all they got. That's all they got.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Halloween campaigning, Donald Trump in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
With your vote, In this election, I will end inflation. I will stop the massive invasion of criminals into your state. And I will bring back the American dream.
Vice President Harris in Phoenix.
And on top of my list is bringing down, si se puede, si.
And that's what they were chanting, Spanish for if possible, yes. Crews are searching for bodies in stranded cars and flooded buildings following monstrous flash floods in Spain that leave over 150 dead. Prison restitution for a man from Washington State convicted of leading a wildlife trafficking ring on a Montana reservation that killed thousands of eagles and hawks. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A Bucks player cited for speeding. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. Milwaukee Bucks guard Andre Jackson Jr. has been slapped with a speeding violation after crashing his BMW into another car, then into an apartment building at Yankee Hill in downtown Milwaukee over the weekend. At first, the team said it was a single car crash, but the Journal Sentinel discovered a second vehicle was involved. No injuries to the two people in that car. Jackson to pay for damages and the $138 fine. The Bucks are in Memphis to face the Grizzlies tomorrow night. NFL Packers rookie linebacker Edrin Cooper talked about his sack and forced fumble against the Jaguars' Trevor Lawrence.
I mean, it's something we work on a lot, you know, like our defense. That's what we want to do, try to get the ball. It's supposed to play is turns and points, so and that's what happened. So that's just our way of thinking.
Matt LaFleur says the rookie gets better every week.
It seems to me that he's developing a better routine. I think Coop's done a better job in that regard.
The Packers host the Lions on Sunday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Holiday movie season is about to kick off, and there are two big films to be released in the next couple weeks. And theater owners and studio executives are hoping they crush the gate. It's not quite Barbenheimer, but Gladiator 2 and Wicked both open November 22nd, and cumulatively are estimated to pull in almost $150 million to help kick off the holiday box office. Hopefully these films match the amount of buzz and hype that is brewing throughout Hollywood. A Hollywood actor is headed to prison for 12 months and a day for his part in the January 6th insurrection in 2021. Actor Jay Johnston has appeared in shows like Bob's Burgers, Parks and Rec, Arrested Development, and the critically acclaimed Mr. Show. According to NBC News, the actor, who was also in Anchorman and Men in Black 2, pleaded guilty to obstructing officers during civil disorder. According to Variety, the actor stole a police shield to help make a wall against police and pinned an officer against a doorframe and was arrested a month later. Tough way to get a new headshot. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. The rain and snow moves out, clearing and colder tonight with a low in the mid-20s. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, high upper 40s, but warmer for the weekend, highs into the upper 50s, partly cloudy Saturday, showers and storms developing Saturday night and Sunday. It's 32 degrees.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Madison entertainment critic and CityCast Madison editor Rob Thomas. And it's Friday, which means Terry Barr will be here for Bar Band Friday Night with some most excellent new tunes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman,
Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. We're here with Robert Lilligren, President and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And I'm giddy, Robert. I'm giddy. And what great news about, getting out the vote. And that I'm still like stunned in what you're talking about with Little Earth.
Yeah, and the community more broadly, too. And, you know, the reservations are fired up and organized, and Make Voting a Tradition has been working on in several reservations now. And it was interesting to watch how that work developed. And we started doing outreach maybe two national election cycles ago. Last in 2020, we were very deliberate and we were very intentional about being respectful and approaching our reservation relatives, bringing something, right? We weren't asking for anything. We were bringing resources. But I'll tell you, it still took time to build that trust to really fully engage. You know, we're kind of the big city Indians, and there's a little, you know, sometimes a lack of trust between the urban Indian communities and the reservation communities. But this year, because of the good work of so many people based here, Make Voting a Tradition, reservation-based folks, it's a whole different story. And we've had crews, I think, on five reservations this cycle by invitation. Reservations are inviting us in. They want us to be present. We're sharing the tools of organizing and getting people registered to vote and voting. And so there again, It's relationship based, it's trust based, and it takes time to change systems, but it is worth the work.
Absolutely. Just exciting. And I was giddy before you came on here, but really listening to that, it's amazing. Wow. I'm just stunned at the good news.
Yep. And I noticed you're wearing your Make Voting a Tradition t-shirt. That's last year's model. The pink one.
Yeah, I know. I tried to get Haley to scoop me up one today.
But, we'll get you one. This year's green.
Oh, yeah, the green Make Voting a Tradition shirts. Yeah. Are those the ones you guys gave out at your open house?
Yeah. Green for the environment. And we have a bunch of t-shirts. we engaged six Native artists in our network to produce three voting-themed works each. A lot are centered around environmental themes and or sovereignty themes or protecting our land and our rights themes. And then we turn several of those into t-shirts, signs, stickers, animations. We have a billboard up on 94 at 42nd Avenue North. We have animated stuff on electronic kiosks all through downtown Minneapolis. But so we have a lot of t-shirts, but every year Jolene Jones picks it up in color for those t-shirts. Jolene Jones is our statewide coordinator and our secret weapon in organizing in the Native community. Last year we picked pink because we had a coworker who was going through treatment for breast cancer. So to acknowledge that.
Yeah. Well, I want that shirt that you're wearing right now.
I'll see if we have one.
Yeah, I think they might have more on Tuesday on Election Day. I know you guys are hosting an event. Robert, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Tuesday we'll be having an almost all-day-long event. So I think it starts at 10 or is it 11? But at our building on East Franklin and 15th, the little yellow building that houses Powwow Grounds Coffee Shop, Make Voting, or All My Relations Arts Gallery, and our offices. And it's going to be out in the parking lot. There'll be food, music, a lot of excitement. Like last election cycle, I don't know if you guys remember this, but we had a huge electronic billboard parked right out there that drew so much attention. I can't remember how many dozens of voters we hooked in because of that billboard. We were able to facilitate them getting to their polling places in Minnesota. We have same-day voter registration. So we're able to get more people to vote, but it's just going to be a good time in celebrating Native voters and Native votes, Native voice, and just building more sort of positive vibe around the election.
The only thing you're missing is that inflatable colon that I love.
Oh, that you'll have to talk to Dr. Stately about. Yes. That's his baby.
Made famous in a play.
Right. And I have a Facebook, I think, profile picture of it, me in the inflatable colon. And so folks listening know, Native American Community Clinic hosts this giant inflatable colon that you can walk through to raise awareness of colon cancer and other issues. But it is pretty good humor.
That's awesome. Wow. Excitement, you know, and today's another day closer. And I don't know, I'm just kind of keeping my spirit. I watch a little news, but I'm not getting deep into it. I watch the World Series. I'll probably watch the rest of Murders in the Building tonight after Halloween, after we take our godchildren out trick-or-treating for 10 minutes because it's so cold.
Yeah, my husband's sworn us off the news for about the last week. He just can't take it anymore. So we do a little bit more entertainment watching, and I don't blame him.
Right.
And again, I think between now and Election Day, a lot of the news is just noise.
Yeah.
You know, it's really push toward Election Day, turnout votes, you know, volunteer, contribute to campaigns, and it's to take action.
Yeah. Right?
But it's hard to continue to watch the news.
It is. And every night it seemed like, you know, corporate media always talking about how close it is, and I don't believe it's this close at all. Right. If we all go out and vote,
right, and we'll see. And I feel the same way. And you know, there's winning the popular vote, there's winning the electoral college, but even some of the more recent analysis that I've come across shows a powerful electoral college victory for Harris. You never know. And then there's going to be the time after the election, right? And so what's that going to look like? And I know a lot of the leads of the Native orgs here are doing contingency. Oh, I'm frozen.
Yeah, but I can hear you.
Okay, cool. Maybe I'll turn off my camera. So they're doing contingency plans, security plans, in case all hell breaks loose after the election. And, you know, and here, I feel like we're kind of prepped for it since the first George Floyd murder, you know, and we felt like civil war here, right? It felt like civil war.
It was unbelievable. So, I remember our old producer, Ogama, and her husband were there with AIM and protecting the buildings. And and what a great job. The only place that got burned down was McGeezy, and that was almost a fluke.
Right. It was a fluke. Nobody really tried to burn it down. It just had, you know, sparks land. It was right across the street from the third precinct that burned. Right. And on Franklin Avenue, the American Indian Cultural Corridor, there was almost no damage, one broken window, because the community came together, protected our Native assets and the non-Native assets of our neighbors and our Native people and our non-Native people. And we protected ourselves. We showed the world that we could do that. Mm-hmm. You know, the police didn't have time to protect us. If anyone was going to protect us, it was up to us. And there was a strong National Guard presence. Right outside my house here on Franklin Avenue, there was this massive national, I shouldn't say massive, but this startling National Guard initiative. Five minutes after curfew, the first night of curfew, people were still outside and the National Guard went nuts. And it was much more brutal than I thought it was going to be, but I think we need to be prepared after Election Day for similar kinds of stuff.
I don't want to get too deep in this, but I do remember how Little Earth stood up for themselves. I was watching live video and how they shooed away all these people that were marching towards Little Earth. It was amazing. And I think Jolene was there too.
I was two cell phones going. I was watching that live. I was like, Jolene, get out of there. I seriously thought someone was going to die. That's what I was waiting for. And then first off, the protesters were marching toward Little Earth, and Little Earth put up barriers and were able to divert them. And then the National Guard marched on Little Earth, and they, And they, to the National Guard, Little Earth just looked like a bunch of rabble rousers, the Little Earth residents. So they kept marching, and I'm like, oh my God, I was just waiting to watch. I was watching all the live feeds. Right. Someone's going to get shot. Someone's going to die here. And then the most amazing thing happened, Robert, that you never see. The National Guard stopped and then retreated. Yeah. And I remember I had Jolene Jones on one phone and Lieutenant Governor Flanagan on another. And to this day, I still don't know who gave that order. I suspect it was the Commissioner of Public Safety, but someone had to tell those guys to turn around, because how often do you see that? The National Guard retreating and nobody getting shot.
Never. And I'm sure it was a combination of you talking to the Lieutenant Governor and the Governor, and I believe he turned them back, but I don't know that for sure. But that's a good memory, and that's just a, you know, we have our T-shirts that say resist, but they also should be resilient, because that just proves the Native vote and what happened during George Floyd and all these things that have accumulated up to now, where we're going to show power in voting.
Agree. And just the power of our community, right? And yeah. I don't know how familiar you are with the Many Shields initiative, but another community-based protector initiative. And at the most recent meeting this week of the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, the directors of a lot of the orgs, Division of Indian Works, McGizzy, Center School, Nawai School, were talking about the impact that the Many Shields protectors have had on their properties. There's just a lot of stuff going on with unsheltered homelessness and street crime and open opioid use. And so the Many Shields protectors have deployed around these key Native organizations, and the heads of these organizations are just amazed with the positive impact they've had and the safety that they bring. And again, it's the Native community doing for ourselves, right? Nobody from outside is protecting us. We're protecting ourselves.
Wow, that's amazing. And I have seen that, and I can't make that meeting because it's during the show, but I definitely am keeping in touch with what's going on there with the Many Shields. Good men doing good work. And Robert, we have one more segment. Do you think you could hang on for just a little bit more?
Yeah, sure. Haley just asked me for 3 segments. But sure, we're having so much fun. I'll grant you another one.
Well, keep you on. I just want you to say what you finish your thought, and we'll let you go.
Okay, so sounds we'll good.
Right. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. We'll be right back.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Every day, our people suffer at the hand of domestic and sexual violence. But you are sacred and deserve to be safe in your own home. Strong Hearts Native Helpline is here to help. Native-centered, empowerment-based, trauma-informed advocates offer safety, sovereignty, and support. Call or text 844-7NATIVE to chat online. Visit www.strongheartshelpline.org. Reach out today.
Make voting a tradition empowers Native American communities through civic engagement. For nearly a decade, MVAT has increased voter turnout by encouraging friends, family, and neighbors to get involved. By building trust and community engagement, MVAT ensures Native voices help shape the future. This election season, voting is easier than ever. Minnesota voters can cast their ballots early so elders and busy voters can avoid the rush of Election Day. Find your nearest polling location at sos.state.mn.us, and let's make voting a tradition for future generations.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Anine, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Hey, we're back, and we're with Robert Lilligren, and I just wanted Robert to howl with us again. He's president and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And Robert, we only got a few minutes here. I'd love all the great news that you have given us today. I'd love for you just to give us a couple minutes of whatever you want to talk about before we let you go. That was amazing three segments.
Yeah, thanks. And again, always thanks for having me on. Thanks for lifting up the community's work. One of the exciting things that's going on within NACTI and near NACTI is the production of a movie called Native Love Jams. Yes. Based on a written work that came out of NACTI and All My Relations Native Authors Program. And so one of the participants in our Native Authors Program wrote this novel, Native Love Jams, and then created a screenplay, and it's being produced by our NACTI's development vice president and directed by a former NACTI employee, Elizabeth Day. John Williams is our vice president. Tashia Hart is the author. And there's a table read coming up on December 5th. I know, Robert, they're trying to get their claws in you to be part of that table read. And so,
if only I could read, Robert. I think it's
so exciting to see those kind of concentric circles and impacts come out of this piece of work. So that's super exciting. And the other conversation, and I don't really have a point here, I'm just speaking off the top of my head, but one of the things we've been talking at NACTI about a lot is, you know, we're a systems change kind of organization, and we stay authentically grounded in community through our project work of food sovereignty with the farmers market and our farm, arts and culture through our All My Relations Arts Gallery, civic engagement through Make Voting a Tradition, and we're trying to change systems, right? And one of the things we've been really mulling over and talking about is how you effectively change systems. And it's not like you take this giant bite out of this giant system. It's really one person at a time. And whether that's a community person or someone who's part of a system or someone who's seeking to be an ally, and you really need to spend the resource and time intensive efforts to change a person's heart and mind one person at a time. And that's a lot of work, but it's really the only effective way of doing it. And so I suspect as we prepare for 2025 and beyond, we're going to really start iterating that more and putting that a little more forward about how we work to change hearts and minds one person at a time.
Well, you talked about that earlier that blew my mind about, you know, 10, 20 years ago, people didn't want to hear about voting, and Making Voting a Tradition has been in the community for quite a while here. And one person at a time is being, their minds being changed that, hey, this is a cool thing.
Right. That's it. Exactly. And then the other kind of big theme, and I know I'm really just talking, this is really not that well formed, and I apologize, but is about what activism means, right? What systems change, what advocacy means. And you know, so we're so accustomed to having to fight for access, fight for a place at the table, fight to get our voice voices heard. And now we're entering this era when we have people like Lieutenant Governor Flanagan and Secretary Holland and Congressman.
Well, and yourself, with Minneapolis, with Met Council, all those things that I've been a part of in a peripheral or a good way, that's changing systems right there. And it's still slow, but it's the doors open.
The doors are open, and then what do you do with that access, right? And in my experience, you know, as a local policymaker for 25 years, it's often people can't stop fighting, right? We embrace the fight so much that once we have fought and created that access, what do we do with it? And I have seen so many times really successful direct action kinds of activists can get to the table, but then they can't give up the fight. They just want to keep fighting. And it's like, okay, wait, this is access. This is where you can work to change the system. So I suspect in 2025, we're gonna be a little more deliberate about that, about preparing people to best leverage and employ the access that they've helped create.
Wow, that's awesome. And again, you know, I love, if I ever would become a leader of an organization such as yours, I just love, again, I bring this up a lot, but it's so true that you've gone back to our roots and made this person take care of themselves first.
Right. And we were just having conversations about that. One of our superstar staff people, Angela Two Stars, who runs all my Relations Arts Gallery, and she is a now internationally known public artist. And we were talking about exactly that. She was invited to a college in Wisconsin, or no, sorry, Michigan, to talk about her experience and things recently. And she brought up what you're talking about, which is our indigenized approach of caring for ourselves first, then our families, and then our organization and community, and the phenomenal and transformational impact that's had on our work. And her audience, every audience we talked to about that, is so receptive and interested, and they want to know more. And she was saying that the professor who organized her talk at this university said to her afterward, you know, how impressed he was about that approach and how he wanted to learn more. But he also said, I think I needed to hear that today more than the students.
Yeah.
And yeah. Again, I don't know why we're trying to figure out how we can publish about this and popularize this approach. And I think every organization, nonprofit, private sector, governmental sector, public, could embrace this approach. And I think it would have an transformationally positive impact on our work.
Yeah. And, you know, your proof in the pudding, you were a little, apprehensive, and look at what's going on here. And other people were apprehensive, and I can see it when I come visit, that there's stuff happening and people are healthy.
I love to say that. Thanks for the affirmation. I did resist this approach. A respected elder, Linda Eagle Speaker, taught me this during COVID. And I resisted it. I'm like, no, we're indigenous. We take care of the whole. And she just kept repeating to me like I was a little kid. No, Robert, the indigenous approach, that's the colonized approach. The indigenous approach is to care for yourself, then your family, then your community. And so finally, I just decided to believe her, even though I didn't have proof, and to put that into play in my own life. I saw how that transformed my work and my approach to the community work. And so I encouraged it in our staff at NACTI. They resisted because it's just not how we're conditioned in this day and age, right? And once they truly embraced this indigenous approach, it has been amazing. Folks show up to this work. They're ready to give 110% because they're taken care of, their families are taken care of. And those are the filters we use. That's we've been sort of instructed now to do. And so if you're feeling poorly, or you have a child that needs some attention, or someone in your family, those are the filters of priority. Take care of yourself, take care of your family, then your work. And the dirty little secret is that people come to work ready. I get so much more work out of these professionals because of this.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll be live from Fox City Stadium, the home of the Timber Rattlers, a Tracy Olson of the Lincoln Project, your calls and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Liz Cheney, famous not Democrat, endorsed Kamala Harris for president.
I know that the most conservative of conservative values is fidelity to our Constitution.
Liz Cheney said that.
I tell you, I have never voted for a Democrat, but this year I am proudly casting my vote for Vice President Kamala Harris.
Patriotism above partisanship.
Listen to Rational Revolution with Mark Becker wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.